Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
It is my whistler's broken.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Wow! Yeah,
we're here.
This is Wretched Radio. Was it Billy Joel who whistled on the Stranger album? And he can still whistle in concert. I can't. This is Wretched Radio, hoping that you will send emails to idea@wretched.org. That's right, I've got a Christmas carol stuck in my head. Thanks to a retailer. Hey, I don't want to tell you how to run your business, but it's a little too soon. Can we please make a policy that we perhaps tighten up the Christmas holiday to, say, I don't know, December? Does it really need to start before Thanksgiving? I guess if you're in retail, it does. And I don't mind telling you, we have been practicing far greater self-control than retailers here at Wretched Radio, because we have not even played one Christmas spoof or satire. Not even one from, say, 2007.
Please accept with no obligation, implied or implicit, our best wishes for an environmentally conscious, socially responsible, low-stress, non-addictive, gender-neutral celebration of the winter solstice holiday. Practice within the most enjoyable traditions of the religious persuasion of your choice, or secular practices of your choice, with respect for the religious, secular persuasions and or traditions of others, or their choice not to practice religious or secular traditions at all. And a fiscally successful, personally fulfilling, and medically uncomplicated recognition of the onset of the generally accepted calendar year 2007. But not without due respect for the calendars of choice of other cultures whose contributions to society have helped make America great. Not to imply that America is necessarily greater than any other country, or is the only America in the Western Hemisphere, and without regard to the race, creed, color, age, physical ability, religious faith, choice of computer platform, or sexual preferences of the wishee. By accepting this greeting, you are accepting these terms. This greeting is subject to clarification or withdrawal. It is freely transferable with no alteration to the original greeting.
It implies no promise by the wisher to actually implement any of the wishes for her or himself or others, and is void where prohibited by law, and is revocable at the sole discretion of the wisher. This wish is warranted to perform as expected within the usual application of good tidings for a period of 1 year, or until the issuance of a subsequent holiday greeting, whichever comes first. And warranty is limited to replacement of this wish or the issuance of a new wish at the sole discretion of the wisher.
Why play such a dated Christmas bit? Well, we don't have self-control, and pretty much everything that was said we're dealing with today more intensely, but it should be a good reminder to us that the social squabbles that are taking place, they didn't just happen yesterday, didn't just happen with the current election. These issues have been going on now for decades. We've just experienced a J-curve of intensity, but these issues, they ain't nothing new. Got to tell you something, Jimmy.
What's that?
I think now the government could make two laws that I think that I'd actually be happy for.
Okay.
Because listening to that spoof, it reminded me of those medical commercials that are on the TV that spend like 10 days giving you all of the problems that you could experience while we're watching grandpa with his grandson build a sailboat and then put it in the water. Oh! It's fascinating footage while the woman drones on, and you might walk with a limp for the rest of your life. Your eyeballs could fall out, and you might experience itching like you've never known it. Okay. All right. Good. Fascinating. The government could pass a law and just say, look, just make a sound effect. Boop. Like that. And then we all know boop means there's a lot of side effects. We're going to have to read the fine print. They could do that. Second law they could make is, hey, how's about, as long as Christmas is still a national holiday, which honestly, I'm not persuaded is actually a good thing, because we don't want to be forcing people who don't believe in the incarnation of Jesus Christ to celebrate the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and certainly not in a blasphemous way. So all we might really be doing is intensifying the judgment on pagans who don't really believe that Jesus was born in a manger but they use the holiday for their own whoop-de-doo. Having said that, there are some blessings to a national holiday. I wonder how many families have been reconciled because they had to get together for Christmas. It's just missing Christmas, that's a big deal. Missing Thanksgiving, that's a big deal. So there have been, I suspect, a lot of reconciliations that have taken place because the holidays force us together. I just would prefer that it weren't a Christian event that we're performing that task. But the government could pass a law that limits when a retailer can start putting out Christmas stuff. Could we at least say no earlier than the 4th of July? Is that asking too much?
That's when it comes out.
Honestly, yeah. It just forever and ever. And they apparently can't practice self-control, or maybe it has something to do with the bottom line. We here at Wretched, let me tell you, we have self-control. No Christmas bits from us.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel said to them,
"Fear not, I bring you..."
"Don't worry, we're not scared,"
said one of the shepherds.
"This is a sign of God's approval of us."
The angel continued,
"I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior."
"Hey, I met you before, didn't I?"
asked one of the shepherds. The angel replied,
"I don't believe so. Anyways, unto you is born a Savior."
"Yes, I did. It was 5 years ago when I almost died. I went to heaven. I got to meet Moses and David, and I swear, you were there too."
"Such malarkey."
"That's not how it works. Christ the Lord, this will be a sign..."
"Wakey, wakey, angels,"
yelled a shepherd.
"I sense angels all around us. Time to wake up, angels. God's chosen generation is awakening around us."
The angel hovered in dumbfounded silence. Suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest."
"Excuse me,"
yelled another shepherd.
"Is one of you the angel of the breaker anointing? I've been looking for the angel of the breaker anointing because I've got some big stuff going on and I need a breakthrough into increase."
Another shepherd cut in.
"My friend met an angel named Emma, and he said that she performed miracles all over his town."
"That has nothing to do with us. We are here to announce the birth of the Son of God. Perhaps we should find a different group of shepherds."
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to search the fields for angel feathers and gold dust in hopes that they could recreate the feeling of that moment, not realizing that they had been invited to meet the King, Jesus Christ.
Who died for sinners. He was born to die. Can't remember that? Forget that aspect of the incarnation. It was intentional. It was with a mission. He came as a volunteer. He was not a victim. He marched to the cross to die for his people. And yet, wow, haven't we turned Jesus into so many different things, including a feelings factory? This is some speculation on my part. And I don't wish to be making a commentary here on all psychotropic medications, because we do need to recognize, while it's probably less than 10% of the times that medications for depression or anxiety are prescribed, they can be needed. But the majority of time, no, it just masks and it dulls. And it causes an individual to not feel just the bad stuff, but to feel anything. So it masks the bad stuff, which means the person now doesn't have the opportunity or perhaps the wherewithal now to deal with that issue, the memory, the event, the tragedy, the failure, the shortcoming. Furthermore, it masks positive emotions, joy and happiness. And I'm just wondering, because I think I just read a statistic, like 1 out of 5 women is taking some form of anxiety or depressive medicine to help them. I just wonder if that isn't the reason for the popularity of some of these silly centers that dim the lights, fog machine, have the music drone on, because they go to get a feeling. And maybe this is their way. I can finally feel something. Speculating a bit, also believe, although I think that there is some connection that has actually been made scientifically, that the people who are on antidepressants are more inclined to cut themselves because they just want to feel something. And I wonder if these explosive growth, the explosive population of these feelings-driven services is due in part to the number of people who are just looking for a feeling at all. All of those things that were mentioned in that somewhat dated bit also, the breaker anointing. Yep, somebody taught that. There's the breaker anointing angel. They're giving me my increase, my breakthrough. There were the Trips to Heaven books, which, by the way, Alex Malarkey, the bravest young man that I know, he was one of the fellows who took a trip to heaven, sold a bunch of books, and then got saved and admitted the whole thing was a lie. That is some genuine Christian bravery coming from a young man who could only be embarrassed by that. He was a kid, manipulated, no doubt. Nevertheless, it took a great deal of courage to say, no, there's only one who's ascended, and it's the one who is descended. The one who was born to us in Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jimmy, I guess we should stop practicing so much discipline and get to the mailbag next on Wretched Radio. If and you don't mind me saying so, I resonate with this sentiment from Dan Steiner of Preborn Ministries.
To be able to look across America and see this Holocaust of abortion and know that people like you are doing something about it. It's one thing to say that we're against abortion, but it's really another to take action.
Do you resonate with that sentiment? Then please consider supporting Preborn Ministries. Ultrasounds save lives. For $28, you will be providing an ultrasound that 80% of the time causes the mother to choose life. That's really doing something. May I ask, how many babies' lives could you save for $28 each? Preborn Ministries also preaches the gospel to the mommies and the daddies, and you can learn more at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Well, what do the gospel, environmentalism, sexuality, agnosticism, and social Darwinism all have in common? They're among the 13 topics covered in Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. With experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, Dr. Jason Lyle, and Tom Hammond, among others, Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth will equip you and your kids to defend the Christian faith at school, at work, at the gas station, grocery store, and everywhere in between. Road Trip is also a perfect study to do with others in Sunday school, youth groups, small groups, wherever. Just remember to grab the study guide too when picking up your copy of Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth. And it's all because of the efforts of our gospel partners that resources like Road Trip to Truth are able to be produced. Would you also prayerfully consider becoming a monthly ongoing gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate to find out all the information you may ever need at becoming a gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Let's play a word association game. I will give you several words and several short phrases, and you need to figure out what they all have in common. Are you ready? Go. Telehealth. A huge PPO network. $3 billion of medical bills. Double the satisfaction rate. Saving an average of $500 per month. What do all of those words and phrases have in common? The answer is MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing. Your family will likely save on average $500 per month. And according to their surveys and polls, you're going to be twice as happy with MediShare than you were with your traditional health insurance. Would you like to know what your family will be saving every month? Please call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland, a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why, if Jimmy would stop yammering, we could get to it. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your email. I'm not even going to give you a breath to jump in there. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, corrections, or sermons, clips, stories, articles, whatever. idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is a question that actually came in on Beat Talk, we couldn't replay it on the air because you wouldn't understand it, but I suffered through and wrote the question down because it's a good question. In today's society, do you think being in the military is not good for a Christian based on all the non-Christian people and things that people are surrounded in the military are surrounded by?
It's worth starting with what the Bible teaches. That's always our beginning place. Is God opposed to war? And the answer to that is an emphatic no. Clearly not. He mandated war regularly, pretty much every spring when the kings went out to war. And God commanded the Israelites to fight and to defend their territory because God was preparing a land, nation, and seed. And so God, commanding war, cannot be guilty of committing a sin by telling them, go to battle. So we know that war is not innately sinful. It can be, but we know that it's not. Furthermore, don't we read regularly in the New Testament that Jesus Christ, when he returns, the gentle, the meek, you're not going to see that side. You're going to see the warrior Christ who goes to war and wages battle and wins, by the way. So clearly, military operations going into battle are not innately unjust or sinful. Having said that, an individual who is a Christian should ask, well, then when is it sinful and when isn't it? And that's where we've come up with something called just war theory. Thomas Aquinas actually originated the concept where we do measurements. For instance, were you attacked or are you just going attacking? That wouldn't be just. We don't do that. You don't go waging war on people to take over land. You just don't do that. Furthermore, it needs to be a proportional response. It needs to be not over. Somebody, for instance, in a military operation blows up a base camp. You can't say, all right, you blew it up, fine. And then you drop an A-bomb on a major metropolitan area. It's got to be proportional in one. As best you can measure that, it needs to be determined and dictated by an actual governing authority. There needs to be also some sort of plan afterwards for trying to help people to recover and get on the right path. So those things, and some are more debatable than others, but those are the criteria for waging a just war. And if a Christian is in a military, he should be able to say it's not a sin. Now, having said that, if you recall, one of the steps that we used every single time in Wretched Worldview, where we tackled 22 subjects, if I'm not mistaken, cultural issues, and one of them was war. We do need to take a look at church history. The early church, they were adamantly opposed to Christians going into the military. They were absolutely opposed to it. I don't know of many or any that would have said, yes, the Christian should join the military. Now, we need to remember with church history, while it can be instructive, it's not infallible. We need to remember that these people who made these decisions were living in a particular context at a particular time with a particular military. So perhaps their aversion to being a Christian soldier, not the hymn kind, but a Christian soldier, is because, whoa, enlist in the Roman military. All they burn, they pillage, they take. You can't do that. Having said that, we also have other criteria. What about my testimony? What about the gospel? How does that inform that? And if you put all of that together, shake it around, I believe, personally, a Christian most certainly can be a police officer, a firefighter, and in the military. Because the military, a part of the government, is a minister of God to bear the sword, Romans 13. So to be participating as that minister, I don't think you're sinning. Do I believe, however, that there could be a command to a Christian soldier that the Christian soldier has to say, I can't do that. And I think the answer is absolutely. It would be a Romans 13 sort of principle. Yes, you would obey your commanding officers unless they command you to sin or forbid you from obeying a command. This can get pretty tricky. They're telling you to wage war on those people, and you go, but what did they do to us? I think that that would be a valid wrestling match. And those matches can take place in a squared circle. But I think the principle, the bottom line is, it is just not a sin on the face of it for a Christian to be in the military. You are doing a good work. And I would finally say this. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice, for your willingness to give up stuff, including your own life, especially in an era. I'll tell you, it is a gospel picture, especially in an era of people who despise authority in the military and the police. Thank you for your sacrifice. And please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
All right, here's a question from Ryan, who says he's heard many sermons and messages from people like John MacArthur and yourself referencing books from false teachers and even heretics like Joel Osteen. And his question is, what happens to all of those books when finished? Does John MacArthur have a false teaching and heresy shelf on his library?
Yeah, I'm sure he does, actually.
Or should we burn them?
No, I'm not kidding. I suspect that he does. Sometimes we should burn them. Don't give them to the Salvation Army or Goodwill. Well, I've got all these terrible books. I'll just give them. No, don't do that. Burn them. Put them in the trash. Recycle, of course, because you love the mother. And don't give them away. Don't let them continue to spread false teachings. But a pastor, almost typically, when you go into a pastor study, this is true. I'm pretty sure that he had one too. When I was just in Baston, I was at a Presbyterian church, First Reformed Presbyterian of Cambridge, maybe even the last Reformed Presbyterian Church of Cambridge to boot. I think there's a PC America church that is there too. At any rate, I was in his study. It was super groovy. This building, the church building, was like 200 years old. Oh, just so creaky and cool. And the stained glass was magnificent. And I was actually reminded of something regarding stained glass that Reformed people typically, not entirely, but typically, historically, have been opposed to icons. And so they would break this. If they took over a church that was Roman Catholic and it had images of Jesus, it had images of God, they break them. Now, some Reformed folks will put up stained glass. It just won't have iconography. It'll have images, perhaps, maybe even a Bible verse, but it won't have something that they would deem to be a violation of the second commandment. So I'm up in his office having looked at this beautiful church. And it's just filled with bookshelves, just wraps around this rather oblong sort of affair, kind of rectangle sort of shaped office, just bookshelf, bookshelf, bookshelf. Oh, look at that. There it is, the false teacher shelf right there. Every pastor has one because he doesn't want to get rid of them for reference sake, but he doesn't want them intermingled next to good authors and good books because people who love to see what the pastor's got in his study, and there are a lot of us, would think, well, he must like the purpose-driven church. So what do? You put it in that shelf, and then you take one of those Dymo guns, and you type in false teacher books or false teaching books. Put the label there, and then everybody knows, oh, okay, that's why you got the prayer of Jabez. I got it. Okay, terrific. Yep, every pastor probably has one of those. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
I call it my Todd Friel shelf.
Thank you.
This is coming from Cole. He says, what do you think of the idea of a woman being the breadwinner of the family? He said he's interested in being a teacher, but that doesn't always make a lot of money. And if his wife made more than he does that signify any sort of lack of leadership on him as a father and husband?
That's far more complex than what meets the eye. If we're going to be pastoral at all about some of these circumstances that people find themselves in, I think we need a lot of details. And that's probably where the devil will be found, is in the question asking, like, well, do you make enough as a teacher to provide for your family? Are you ancillary income, or are you a sustaining income? That would be something I'd look at, because I do believe biblically it is the husband's role to be the breadwinner, to be the one who goes out and labors. And I think we see this biblical model in Genesis chapter 2, and the woman is taking care of the kids because that's her, what her body was built for. So I think that that's the principle. Now, could it be that in this instance, let's say they've got no kids, she works, he works, and she just makes more? Would I say that's an automatic violation of that principle? I don't think we could make a blanket statement like that. But I would suggest this, though, would be the guiding principle for it. Roles. You play outside of the roles that God has ordained, and it's just not going to go well. It can't go well. So let's not be legalists about this. Let's be thoughtful. Let's be pastoral. But let us follow the biblical model that it's the man's job to be the primary breadwinner. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Okay, so woke is weird. Like, really, really weird. You want proof? I have proof.
I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her.
I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft.
Okay, so I'm going to skip over the fact that this guy called himself a security evangelist. I'll save that for another day, but for today, let's focus on the other odd thing we just heard. This is how Microsoft employees have to introduce themselves now. Why? Because apparently you're not properly woke unless you do something weird to let everybody know that you are woke. Okay, so this next story isn't just weird, it's downright disturbing. Roger Hallam, a big climate change guy, recently published his manifesto. It's titled Advice to Young People as You Face Annihilation. And in it, Hallam says, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he says that if young people don't organize effectively, the climate issue will lead to war first and then death, ultimately. But in the midst of the war, rape will be a major part. So we're going to go from climate change to war to rape to eventual death. That's what we have to look forward to, at least according to this guy, Roger Hallam, the climate prophet. So go get your sackcloth and your ashes and repent, because it's not looking too good. Well, CRT is not being taught in schools. That's the line that we get, but I don't think the folks in Montgomery County, Maryland got that memo. According to documents, the county launched a, quote, psychoeducational lesson that taught children that there is a double pandemic going on, COVID and systemic racism. Oh, and here's the best part. An Ibram X. Kendi book is part of the lesson here. Let's take cues from the most radically racist guy in America. Why? Well, it's fairly obvious by now. You can't create a communist society if you don't first divide and destroy the society we currently have. And here's a totally unsurprising story to wrap the week. The Biden administration just gave $5 million of taxpayer money, that's your money, to a UN program that gives deadly abortion drugs to women across the world. The Deputy Secretary of State praised the program. Yeah, I'm sure that happened. Okay, so a completely transparent moment right now. The Deputy Secretary of State is named in this story. Honestly, I don't know if this is an actual woman or not. I can't keep up with who in the administration started off male and became female, or started off female and became male. So I can't say, sure she did. That's the line I wanted to say. The Deputy Secretary of State praised the program. Sure she did. I can't say that because it might just be a man playing dress up, but I digress. That's the story of this country, though, isn't it? We've digressed, all while being led by people who call themselves progressive. Oh, the irony in that. The sad, sad irony. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teaches us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the wisdom of God. The wisdom of man says we can earn God's favor through good works, but the wisdom of God is made known in Jesus Christ. God in human flesh, put to death on the cross to grant us forgiveness we cannot earn. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh. I think we started something. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org with questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, or corrections. And please call our Beep Talk number if you'd like to talk and have us listen to your actual voice. 1-877-282-BEEP. Jimmy, I'm just looking at the Beep Talk folder.
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot that begin with church signs.
Yes.
I think we've started something. Please feel free to send those and anything else to 1-877-282-BEEP. And send your testimony. Give it to us. I want to hear it. We want to be encouraged by you. Testimonies are fantastic encouragements to other believers. Okay, yep, cool. God's still saving. He's still in the business of regenerating dead human beings spiritually and making them alive in Christ, capturing them out of the kingdom of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Ah, isn't it good to know that God is still very powerfully building his kingdom? If you'd be so kind, could you perhaps try to bring it in, land the testimony plane under 2 minutes? That would be terrific, because if you go longer than that, Jimmy's going to edit you. And sometimes all he does, he'll just take out every third word. And it hits time. It's just not as good to listen to. So please send it. I would love to hear it. And now a number of people have, but Jimmy, overall, you're having to do a fair amount of tightening things up, right?
Right, yes.
All right, so give us the cream and send it to, send it, talk it to 1-877-282-BEEP to the mailbag we go.
All right, this one's from Anonymous, who's wondering, is it bad to watch movies that portray Jesus like Passion of the Christ, or is it blasphemy?
Well, if you're really Reformed, probably is. Reformed folks not fond of iconography, images about God. They believe it's a violation of the Second Commandment. So they would say, verboten, you shouldn't be watching a dramatic recreation. I don't happen to hold that particular position because I think the import of the commandment about not making graven images is not making something that you worship. And if you can have a stained glass window, or you can have a painting, or even a movie that shows images of Jesus, as long as you're not worshiping that object, but the object of your worship is actually Jesus, then I believe it can actually enhance your understanding and grow you in your love for him. But I would say that we do have to have a word of caution, because any movie that is done about Jesus, it's going to bring in details that maybe shouldn't be included. For instance, the Gospel of Matthew is the visual Bible, and it is Bruce Marciano plays the role of Jesus, and he plays Jesus in a very surprising manner. He's a laughing Jesus. Now, not like, hey, Peter, did you hear the one? Not that. He would be jovial. And he would be joyful, and you would see that, and we should know that Jesus was, but he was also a man of sorrows, but he also has joy. How do I know? John chapter 17, he prayed that we would have the joy that he and the Father have. So we know that about Jesus, but when you see that played out, it might not be spoken, because the Matthew Visual Bible is actually a word for word. I think it's the NIV. Word for word. So they're not embellishing the text, but how they dramatize it adds some information. For instance, I remember a scene where the disciples are walking with Jesus, I think by a riverbank, and Jesus is talking about a group of people who are worse than a tax collector, and he shoves Matthew, like a tax collector, like I'm kind of poking fun here a little bit. Did that happen? The answer is, I don't know, but it gave me an impression. You know, that, hey, Jesus can have fun. Now, wait a second. I can deduce that perhaps from the Bible other ways, but even by watching a dramatic recreation of it, the setting, the tone, the volume, for instance, in the Matthew Visual Bible, Matthew 23 and 24, literally, this speech, Bruce Marciano had to memorize the chapters because that's he had to memorize the whole book of Matthew where he was speaking. And he was delivering this long diatribe. You remember about who the true Jews are, who the true Israel is, false converts, separation of the goats and the sheep, the judgment of God, a description of hell. All of that he was including, and woeing the Pharisees. All right, so here's a question. you've read the Bible. Let me grab it. How do you read it? How do you hear it? How did Jesus say it? There's a variety of options. Woe to you, Pharisee! But that's not the way that Bruce Marciano played it. Woe to you, Pharisees, blind guides! Now, it was definitely accusatory, because that statement is very sharp. But it was said with a broken heart. Is that the way he delivered it? And the answer is, I don't know. Maybe. Now, is it bad that I consider that? I don't think it's bad to consider that, because it kind of helps us think through what the Bible reveals to us about Jesus to get a more full picture, to love him more than we currently do. But I don't know, so I want to be careful that it's not informing me. There are other Jesus movies, Chosen! Sorry, little tickle. That really import a lot, because it's not even following the script. It's following stories and embellishing the dialogue. Oof, I think you're in a very dangerous place when you're making those or consuming those. And for me and my house, we don't, because I don't want that stuff brought in. I don't want wrong information going into my head or into my family's heads. So we just don't, because I don't want to be learning about Jesus in a way that is not biblical. All right, so here's Matthew chapter 23. Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do." Oofta. Then we jump to verse 13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I don't think that we still have it. Jimmy, would you check and see if we have in the files old Matthew video clips? I don't know that those still exist. We probably updated our system. Don't you love it when they do that? Hey, I can't use my phone anymore. Thanks for the update. But this particular presentation, it was like the brokenhearted Jesus. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. As opposed to, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Now, I don't think he said it in the latter way. But we do have to think through, how did these things get said? And the only way really to get warm to that is by really studying the Greek language and the context of it, because sometimes it informs us, and regularly the text will inform us too. It'll give us a bit of a hint about the tone of the conversation or the presentation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and then for a pretense make long prayers. See, that's how I deliver it. Pharisees, because I'd have to drip it with sarcasm. You claim to be good, but you steal money from widows. Then you pray in public so we can all see it, so we think, oh, they would never do such a thing. See, that's how I would deliver it. I don't think Jesus did it that way. Jimmy, were you successful in finding the Matthew videos?
Yeah, I think I found something.
Really?
I've got to listen to see, but I think I did find
something.
Okay,
cool. Maybe we'll share that in just a bit.
Right.
Because that'll keep me from being terrified by doing beep talks. Please send your emails to idea@wretched.org.
Oh, so this one's from Mina. She says that her and her husband were both raised Catholic, but they've been attending and raising their kids in an evangelical church for the last 5 years. Recently joined a young families ministry, and she says that her and her husband don't quite understand what people mean when they talk about feeling the Holy Spirit,
yeah, right,
or having a relationship with Jesus.
Right. Well, that's two different things. This is evangelical vernacular. And it's really something that should be examined biblically. Do we feel the Holy Spirit? Well, define that. There's two ways to get a feeling from the Holy Spirit. One is he just gives you a buzz. Bible doesn't say he does that. The second way you can feel the Holy Spirit is you're feeling the effect of the Holy Spirit's work in you. That is biblical. So I think to say I really feel the Spirit, it's too sloppy. Now, maybe they mean it well. You know what? I feel so assured of my salvation. I'm just feeling the Holy Spirit. Okay, well, hold on. You make it sound like it was just kind of this imported feeling as opposed to a cognitive response, a response to what you've learned from the Holy Spirit. So I just think that it's sloppy lingo and we would do well to lose it, even though the Holy Spirit does produce feelings in us. They're not mystical. They are cognitive in nature. And as far as having a relationship with Jesus, I actually like that language because it helps us to deeper understand true salvific faith versus a false faith. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, just a quick perusal of the Wretched store and wretched.org, and you'll notice resources like Road Trip to Truth, Life is Best, Untethered, Wretched Worldview, and all of our resources have one very distinct thing in common. And no, it's not Todd's ugly mug. Okay, maybe two things in common, but what I'm referring to, or who I'm referring to, is you. Seriously, because if you're a gospel partner, you are actually responsible for the resources we produce. We're just the mouthpiece, but our gospel partners are the engines that make Wretched run. Without you, there is no us. So if you're already a gospel partner, we humbly thank you. And if you're not an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one and help us continue producing biblically sound, Christ-centered content to reach the lost and edify the saints? Visit wretched.org/donate to get all the details on becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner today. That's wretched.org/donate. It truly does take us all.
If you like to support ministries that focus on sharing the gospel, you will love Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids get loved on and they hear the gospel, like Armic from the Republic of Georgia.
2 years ago, I was invited to a camp organized by the Tomorrow Clubs. Tomorrow Clubs helped me see Jesus was my God and Savior. If it hadn't been for the Tomorrow Clubs, I would never have learned about Jesus.
$30 per month will be sufficient for a Tomorrow Club to operate, gather the kids, and preach the gospel to them in places like Georgia and Ukraine and Romania and Russia. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
2021 has been the best yet at Wretched, and I'm not sure I have enough time to even cover it all, but let's try. This year we rolled out a new curriculum of Wretched Bible Studies. Drive-By Biblical Counseling 3 was released. Wretched Worldview hit the streets. Tom Hammond's newest booklet, Solving the God Puzzle, became available, and Season 2 of Road Trip to Truth was released. And that's just our big resource releases this year. We can't forget about our big move over the summer or the fact that as of today, Wretched Radio can be heard on over 800 radio stations worldwide. Wretched TV can be found on over 135 Christian networks, our YouTube channel, almost 4 million hours watched this year alone, and none of this would be possible without our gospel partners. During this year-end season, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? 2022 promises to be our best yet with our new documentary series, Transformed, set to be released, highlighting the life-changing power of biblical counseling. So visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321 to become a gospel partner today.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Fair warning, if you're a Reformed Presbyterian, you might not like this. This is Wretched Radio. Our brothers who are Reformed Presbyterians are not fans of iconography, images of God. I suspect with that, they wouldn't be nuts about movies that portray Jesus Christ in the flesh. I don't hold that opinion, because I don't believe that that is what the commandment was getting at. It was getting after the heart and not physical representations of biblical truths. So having said that, if you're a Reformed Presbyterian, You might want to scoot for a few minutes because I'd like to share with you an audio presentation from the Matthew video. It's the visual Bible. It is word for word Matthew. And I just think that this is really helpful in us considering the tone of Jesus. We want to be careful hermeneutically that we don't put tone on top of the text. But I do think we make a mistake if we never consider the tone, because I think it makes the person writing it a lot more relatable. The Jesus didn't speak like the words on the printed page like we would. So I'm reading this. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." Okay, so Jesus didn't say, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." I'm reading it. There was a tone to it, and we want to carefully consider what might that tone have been.
Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples,
"The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teachers, for you have one teacher, the Christ.
Amen.
The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted."
Here it comes.
"Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides! You strain out a gnat, but swallow a camel. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee! First clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our forefathers, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the sin of your forefathers. You snakes! You brood of vipers! How will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and wise men and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so, upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. I tell you the truth. All this will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem.
Was that the tone of our Savior? Perhaps. Was the music included? No, that definitely wasn't there. And if you're a Reformed Presbyterian, you can return now. It is a worthwhile endeavor to consider the tone without getting dogmatic about it. But I thought when Jesus was brokenhearted pleading, calling out a condemnation simultaneously to me captures speaking truth in love about as good as an actor can possibly portray. Now, was that the case in this lengthy dialogue that Jesus delivers? I don't know, but I don't think that it's wrong to say that Jesus Christ is the gentle and meek one. Yes, absolutely turned over tables. Yeah, woe the Pharisees, blind guides, hypocrites, sons of hell, snakes, brood of vipers. But how will you escape hell if you don't repent? We need to remember that our Savior was not one note. He was many notes, and we would do well as best we can to figure out the tone he was using when he delivered the text that we are reading. Just do it very carefully. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.